Well, good morning, and it is not Thursday, it is a Monday, but that is the preliminary kickoff for our political perspectives on WFSU-FM, also being delayed broadcast on Comcast Channel 4, which is for FSU, and we are on Facebook Live. This is our series of political perspectives that we are kicking off this week and will continue into next week. And before we begin, a reminder that you're always invited to be part of the conversation on perspectives via phone and email. Our phone number is 850-414-1234. If you're old-fashioned and you have a landline and you're out of the area and you have to use an 800 number to call toll-free, we got one of those for you, too. 800-926-8809. You may email us, perspectives@WFSU.org, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Now, this Perspectives episode will be telecast tonight at 7:30 Eastern Time on 4FSU. That's Comcast Channel 4 in Leon, Gadsden, Wakulla, Madison, Taylor, and Brooks counties. You'll also be able to see it online at our Perspectives page, which you can find also at WFSU.org/elections2018. We have a special page that is reserved for that. We are kicking things off with Leon County Commission, District 1. And we have an incumbent in that contest, the longtime incumbent, Bill Proctor. We extended an invitation to the commissioner. He has not arrived yet, but we do have the challenger in the race here with us live, and that is Jasmine Ali, who joins us, and welcome to Perspectives. It's so good to see you.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on. I truly appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to share with all the people, you know, what my perspective is. I couldn't pass down the opportunity to let our campus and community know how to make an educated and informed vote in this 2018 cycle.
Let's start with a little bit of background, Ms. Ali. Now, you are a student at Florida State University, a political science major, I believe.
Right, right. I have been at the Florida State University since 2015, and I also stayed with my brother, who also attends the Florida State University, in 2014. So I've been around and I've been able to see, you know, the campus, the students, the community, and I've learned a lot since I grew up in Florida. I am the child of an immigrant. I grew up with a single mother. She came to the United States in 1969 as a war refugee from Nigeria. Having a single mother, she wasn't around very often. She worked frequently every day of the week. And from a young age, I learned the importance of community. I had to depend on my neighbors, depend on community members to make it to and from school, to eat, to live, you know? And when my mother wasn't around, I depended on the community to take care of me. And not only that, I depended on the resources in the community, you know, our libraries and our parks. I had to go there after school when mom wasn't around. I had to go there to do my homework. And, you know, I think my lived experiences have brought me to where I am today, and I would never, ever trade that for anything.
That is still so remarkable, though, that a student who is concerned with getting through a tough program, because the poli-sci department at Florida State, from everything that I have seen and heard, is a rigorous kind of curriculum that you have to get through. And with the quizzes and the midterms and the tests and the papers and just going through collegiate life, for you to jump into a political campaign just seems almost counterintuitive. What possessed you to say, I want to run for Leon County Commission?
Well, this is the perfect time for it. We need our young people to activate. We need our young people to get involved. And there's no other way to do it unless they see someone like themselves taking that initiative and taking that step. I live over in Frenchtown, over on Brevard Street, and every single day I see people just like myself, you know. And I told you earlier, I know what it's like to not know where you were going to sleep that night. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to have a single parent. I know what it's like to experience domestic violence, to work a drive-through window. So when I look at the people of my district, I see myself and I see people who need, and I'm here to serve that need.
Let's talk about some of the other issues that you've identified as being important to District 1. And I'm so glad you mentioned your residence on Brevard Street over in Frenchtown, because that always comes up. Is this individual living in their district when it comes to these things? And certainly you are. But beyond that, what else do you see are major issues that are facing Frenchtown, the South Side, the entirety of District 1 that goes all the way down to Woodville?
Right. I definitely see a lack of safe and affordable housing for our people. We had, 16,000 people apply for public housing when there are only 3,000 lottery slots available, you know, and for them, it feels like nobody is listening. We have people who are going to work every day, you know, making this community flow, maintaining the harmony, yet they can't have harmony at home because there is not a stable home to go to. And aside from that, we see a lack of food, a lack of access to food. We have one grocery store in the South Side, and it's not the best option for everybody. We love Piggly Wiggly, of course, but there needs to be some more fresh food options for people. And we need to have a permanent farmers market in the community. Some people can't make it to the morning farmers markets. They have kids. They have work. So we need to have something established, something that people can go to up until late at night, because many of us do work. We go to school, and we need to go grocery shopping at night. Also, there are plenty of initiatives through the city that offer, adopt a tree. Maybe we should add some fruit, vegetable, and nut-bearing trees to that list. Maybe we should make some more fruit, vegetable, and nut-bearing plants available to the community. We have some great, resources like iGrow and the farm over on, or the garden over on Orange Avenue, but that some people can't even get there. They can't drive. Aside from that, safety is definitely a huge issue in my community. We had 18 homicides last year in Tallahassee, with many of those being in my district, unfortunately. It all falls down to one foundation, and we know exactly what it is. Young people. We need to have something, some investment in our young people, because that is where it begins. We all know that, the foundation for life is built in those early stages. So when we're here investing more money in corrections than we are in law enforcement, the people who are having contacts with our children, with our people every day, that's an issue. We're preparing more people for jail than for safety, and I just feel like there needs to be more of an investment in our schools, in our young people, and definitely an emphasis on not only civic literacy, but financial literacy in our schools.
You went to the Community Redevelopment Agency meeting this morning that kicked off at 9:30. Your thoughts on that? And now that the county has made a conscious decision to withdraw its involvement from the CRA, that is no longer going to be an option that you can leverage should you become a Leon County Commissioner. So what do you do with that?
Well, we need to listen to the people first and foremost. Right now we have many people who are screaming, yelling, wishing to be heard, and they're being directed to person after person, and nobody is seeming to listen to them. So first and foremost, we need to listen to our people and see what they need, not what we think they need. And right now there are a lot of people out and listening to our people and gathering information, but there needs to be some action behind the information. And so I'm glad at the CRA meeting this morning they were able to hear everybody, but what are we going to do with that information, and how are we going to help these people and address the needs that they have?
So with economic development being a major sticking point for Frenchtown, certainly, but even more so for the South Side, and with not having county involvement in the CRA, how do you bring resources to bear on that? What exactly do you do to help those people who were speaking out at the meeting and saying, we need whatever?
Right. And it all starts right here in the community. We need to focus on some more community-driven activities, maybe have something built by community members with the being overlooked by a local developer, bring in the community and show them that we do have power to progress and we do have power to build on our own. We shouldn't really be looking to somebody else, because we've seen time after time they may not want to help us. And now we have to pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps and build on our own.
Some fear that was articulated at another forum that you attended, which was this past Saturday at the Frenchtown Farmers Market. A number of longtime Frenchtown residents, of which you are now one, saying we need something other than continued student rental housing, which is encroaching even in the Frenchtown area right now. And we need more community involvement in determining the future of Frenchtown. How do you, as the commissioner for District 1, should you get that job, how do you make that happen?
Great. And you see right now we have a lot of student housing developments being put up. And quite frankly, it's not the best position to be a student in this because a lot of this development gets thrown onto students. Oh, the students need it. Oh, the students want it. Quite frankly, we have a lot of housing available for students. FSU just put up 4 new dorms within the past 2 years. So I feel that we need to establish more multifamily housing. And of course, if you look at the ALIS report, we are at a high since the prior to the recession with multifamily housing being produced. However, there needs to be an increase. We see, I told you earlier, we have 16,000 people applying for public housing. Maybe we should consider having more rent-to-own properties, you know, start out with a low rent base rate, and then as their income, you know, expands, we raise that rent, and then eventually they'll be able to have that home ownership. Come on, this is the American dream, you know, this is what people want. And so when we're giving them, you know, vouchers after vouchers, relocating, building something new, more vouchers, people want ownership, people want stability, people want something that they can bring their family home to and cook in the kitchen and know that 20 years from now, 30 years from now, you can sit in the same kitchen with your grandchildren and have those meals that you cherished. It can't be that way when you're moving from place to place and there's not a stable home.
The Leon County Commission District 1 race is our initial one as we kick off a series of political perspectives this week on WFSU and also delayed broadcast on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, and we are also up there on Facebook Live. The challenger in the race, Jasmine Ali, is our guest on Perspectives. We also invited the incumbent, Commissioner Bill Proctor, to be with us. We have not seen Commissioner Proctor here this morning, but we invite your call to Ms. Ali at 850-414-1234, and we'll be right back. The 2018 election looms before us, and actually, today's Perspectives, which is focusing on Leon County Commission District 1, this election will actually be in November, because there are two contenders here, the challenger, who is here with us, Jasmine Ali, and the incumbent, Bill Proctor. Since it's a two-way race, it goes then to the November election. But we thought it would be a good opportunity to introduce you, Ms. Ali, particularly to the electorate, since they have not met you before. They kind of know Commissioner Proctor. He's been hanging around since 96, so it's that. Yeah. We were talking here going into the break, though, about the We know that there is a huge income disparity here in Leon County. We have been assessed, I think, in Forbes magazine as having the highest income disparity of any metropolitan area in the United States. And so when you see things like the development of College Town and some of the development in Midtown and some other places, the Northeast Corridor, for instance, this is not a universal when it comes to Leon County. And your district, District 1, should you be elected to that job, it seems to be on the short end of that stick.
Right now we're seeing a mass amount of development going on in College Town and over on the north side of town. However, we need a more equitable distribution of development. You know, we can't have these apartments after apartments going up a green-wise, you know. And then we go over to just a few miles away over the railroad tracks and, you know, you can't find a pharmacy. You can't find a grocery store. You have one option. and that there's more families over there. There's more people that need it. I just can't wrap my head around it, why we can't get our people the access that they need, the things that they need. And that issue falls into a slew of other issues, you know, health. What are our people eating? And we know that many of the health issues associated with diet affect African Americans at a higher rate. We have diabetes, strokes, heart disease. All of those things are directly correlated to diet. And so in the long run, this lack of access to resources is gonna take us out in the end, because we're going to have to put more towards health. We're going to have to put more towards, you know, emergency response, when that could have been prevented.
So how do you take then, say, as a Leon County Commissioner, you have access to, whether it's community development block grants or some other funding sources, how do you target that into areas such as, I'm thinking, boy, down on the corner of a Basin Street, there might be a great place to put a fresh produce market, mm-hmm. that would be locally owned and operated. How do you make that happen?
Well, first and foremost, people need to know what resources are available to them. Right now we have, you know, grants available through the city and county, and I go to minority business after minority business, and I have to bring the packet to them. They had no clue it existed. It shouldn't be that way. And if we're, you know, publicizing these things through newspaper or at the meetings, we're only going to hit a certain audience. So we need to get out in the community and let people know what resources are available to them. You have to meet people where they are. You can't expect them to come to you. You know, the hungry will come to you, but some of the hungry will never know what is there. And we have to reach them, and we have to give to them, and we have to show them what is available to them and what they can do with the skills and with the resource that they have, and ultimately bond and build that community into something that is useful and efficient to the people in the surrounding area.
In achieving that outreach, since you are a student at Florida State University, and President Larry Robinson over at FAMU recently articulated a desire for his institution to have more of a community outreach, not just the upper echelon, but also students to get out into the neighborhoods that adjoin the FAMU campus where a lot of these problems are, yeah. and to try to help solve them. How do you leverage our universities? You've got tons of resources there.
We have 70,000 plus college students here in Tallahassee. And there seems to be a bubble around us as far as getting out into the community. Of course, once you really get down to the nitty-gritty, you'll see our college students touch every school in the Leon County school system. They are out and with our community agencies, with our organizations, and really making a difference. And there, that bubble also makes us feel like we may be making more of a difference than we are. And so once we burst that bubble and see just how much power we can have in the community, it makes all of the difference. As far as community involvement with our students, I feel that FAMU, with the closing of the pharmacy over on Southside Walgreens, that took a lot of experience away from our students over at the pharmacy school. Why don't we establish a pharmacy over on the south side that is owned and operated by the FAMU School of Pharmacy and ran by the students at the pharmacy school? You know, they need that experience, and the people there need a pharmacy. You know, there are so many ways that we can integrate our universities into the community and provide more resource and help to our neighbors. Another program that I'd like to create is the Adopt a Home program. And so this would allow local organizations and local businesses to adopt a home. And of course, preference would be given to elderly, those of adverse economic situations, and, you know, veterans, single mothers. The list goes on and on, people who need. And through that program, we would have our student organizations, local organizations, student businesses, local businesses enter a system where there's a two-part system. So homes and residents are requesting a need, requesting help. And then on the other end, there are businesses and organizations that will adopt that particular home. They'll be matched with a home, and they'll address the needs of that resident. You know, the issues that we have can really and truly be solved with community action. So it's all about activating our residents, activating our students, and getting people out and getting people engaged together. And we have that now, but it can definitely, definitely be grown.
As a county commissioner, you would also be very much involved in the criminal justice system, not just through the funding of the Leon County Sheriff's Office, but also the courts would be involved there, too. After all, the county commission meets on the fifth floor, and right downstairs, you've got the courts, and you've got the parole and probation department, all those sorts of things. What would your approach be, particularly since, as you mentioned at the outset, there are still a lot of criminal justice issues that are endemic to District 1 that really need some heavy-duty attention right now?
Right. And with 1,000 people being released from prison and coming back into our community each year, we need to focus on some programs that can reduce recidivism and allow our people to readjust back to society, readjust back to their normal lives. And, we see at a fundamental level the reason for crime is need. People need. They're not just going out and robbing stores for the heck of it. They're robbing stores because they need that. They need the money to feed their family. And we need to really take a look at the reasons behind crime and figure out ways to fix those reasons and then address. Of course, there is always going to be crime. It's human nature. But there can definitely be a decrease. And as Sheriff McNeil said, there has been a decrease. We're down to 14% and then 18% in the unincorporated areas of the county. I'm looking for that number to go down. And like I said before, it falls in our young people.
And there would be some other things that you would have to deal with, too. The opioid crisis has not hit Leon County the same way it has. Mm-hmm. Some other places like Union County are certainly up in some Rust Belt communities in western Pennsylvania, southern West Virginia, places like that. But most of the folks who follow these things say we at least will see some increase in that, which will strain our resources beyond what they are right now. How do you get in front of that?
Right. And that's a hard one to tackle. First and foremost, and I say that over and over, is that we need to have our people more educated about, what is an opioid? Many people hear that word tossed around over and over again, but a lot of young people especially don't really know what an opioid is. And now that you talk about it, I kind of want to find out. We have to teach people, the long-term effect and what could happen to you. And not only that, allow more mental health care that is easily accessible to our people. Allow more health care that is accessible to our people. And I gotta talk about it. Marijuana. Many of our people would prefer to have marijuana than to be prescribed a prescription drug. So with Mayor Gillum leading the effort in the state to legalize, I think that is a step that we should take in making the resources and knowledge behind that more accessible to our people of all backgrounds. I don't need, only a certain group having access to these. And right now we see people that look like myself being criminalized at a much higher rate than others.
Well, you've got now a medical marijuana statute on the books in Florida, the implementation of which, though, is still stumbling forward. You have a lot of contention going on at the state level, which brings us around to another issue, which is, as a Leon County commissioner in the Capitol County, right across the street from the courthouse, is a big white building that you would be interfacing with a lot, because you would, in essence, have to be a lobbyist on behalf of a population that maybe is being underrepresented.
Right.
So are you ready to go over and deal with the House and the Senate
course,
and the governor's office and all that?
The one thing about our legislators is that they're always willing to listen. And being able to establish those connections and really show them that this is your home. This is your home for almost half of the year. So you not only need to have an investment in your community back home, but here too, if your family is coming here, if you're coming here, you should also have a stake in the community and be concerned about what is going on around here. you know, I have prioritized public safety. I have prioritized having an increased quality of life here, because this is not only about the longtime residents, but the entire state. We have students from all over the state of Florida, legislators from all over the state of Florida. And not only that, their families coming here, tourists coming here. So it is a strong argument to make that Leon County needs to set the precedent for the state, and we need to have a increased quality of life, an increase in public safety, an increase in public health, and really show the state what the capital county can be.
You're listening to Perspectives, the political variety of perspectives on WFSU, and delayed broadcast on Channel 4, Comcast Channel 4, for FSU, and we are Facebook Live as well. We're kicking off a total of 8 programs over the next 2 weeks in which we'll be delving into the intricacies of our local candidates for Leon County Commission, Leon County School Board, and also Tallahassee City Commission. We're kicking things off this morning with our Leon County Commission District 1, the incumbent in that one, Bill Proctor. He is not with us, but the challenger is, and she is Jasmine Ali. We invite your input, as always. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, or give us a call, 850-414-1234. Since Mr. Proctor is not here, I will do a little stand-in for him on one issue, and that is Ms. Ali. He has been in this job since 1996, and he makes a major point of the fact that he kind of has the connections. He knows what buttons to push. He has the expertise, the background, and a long, long line of experiences that he would say makes him more effective than you, because this is your first time running for a major political office. So why should I cast my ballot for you rather than him on the basis of that experience?
Right. Well, and Mr. Proctor, his service is admirable. You know, he has a great vision for our community, and especially for the time that he was elected, he had a great vision for our community. Now I believe that it is time for a fresh face. It is time for a new voice. It is time to break that cycle of divisiveness and hostility. You know, people want to meet others where they are, and when you're not, you know, taking that stance and meeting someone where they are, they're going to walk away. And that's what we have going on right now. There needs to be a voice at the table that has the best interest of the people in mind, you know? And right now, I'm not sure that that is what we have.
Are you suggesting that perhaps Commissioner Proctor has been a bit divisive in his approach to governance?
Well, he has said things about the LGBTQ community, about the Caucasians, about people with disabilities. So at this point in time, there are many people who are being excluded or who may feel like they do not have a voice at the table.
One long-term, I guess, matter of contention, especially on the South Side, although Frenchtown is involved there as well, is access to affordable health care. And we do have a clinic in Frenchtown. We have the Bond Neighborhood Community on the South Side. We have the new Care Point Center, which also is on the South Side. To your way of thinking, where do we go from there to make even greater accessibility a reality for the folks in those areas?
Right. At this point in time, there is no choice for going up against these. We must embrace them and accept them and share them with our community. I appreciate the accessibility that it is creating, and I hope that we will be able to get that out to more people. I see that they're having more events, they're inviting people in, and more people are getting to learn about what resources are available to them. I would like to see some full panel STD testing, you know, some care for our mothers and children. And our, of course, our elderly. Many people can't afford it, and we need to create some sort of way to have health care for our people so that they can get the medical attention that I need. And like I said, we don't have a pharmacy. You know, these people are being, you know, left aside in their own community. So,
well, even hometown doctors right now, how many medical caregivers do you have in the community, like a doctor's office you know, right there in the neighborhood. You don't have that.
Right. And that we could, as a county, have the ability to create incentives for our doctors and for our medical professionals to come into the community and really bridge that gap that is currently, you know, in our community. We also have plenty of young people here graduating from medical school each year over at the Florida State University. Over, you know, they are able to serve, and they are ready to serve. So we need to create that option for them, and that will help us to retain some of the students that come here to Florida State or come here to FAMU and want to stay here but feel that they don't have an option for employment. You know, we see many students coming in and many leaving as they graduate. We need to figure out a way to keep them here and you know, create a job, a workforce for them to really thrive and establish a lifelong residency here. So that, you know, establishing those medical jobs for people and all people, especially people of the South Side, to be engaged with would definitely make a difference in our community.
Some jurisdictions had as high, I mean, I'm trying to think of the specific ones and they escape me right now. Please forgive me, but a number of communities with access to health care training, such as the FAMU College of Pharmacy, such as the College of Medicine at Florida State, had created almost internship-type situations in communities of need, whereas students, as part of their education, would serve a stint at a community clinic or whatever, and that might be something that you'd be looking at as well.
Definitely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick timeout. We will be right back as we talk about the Leon County Commission District 1 race. The challenger, Jasmine Ali, is here with us on Perspectives, and you're always invited to be part of the conversation at 850-414-1234 or drop us an email, perspectives@wfsu.org. We shall return. Every 2 years around election time, we go through this exercise, which is called Political Perspectives on WFSU, not only the FM side of the house, but also televised on 4FSU, Comcast Channel 4, and we are also Facebook Living it this go-around. This Perspectives episode telecast tonight at 7:30 Eastern Time on 4FSU, if you want to go back and watch it on TV and see how marvelous we look as we appear before the cameras here. Jasmine Ali is with us, a student, a poli sci major at Florida State University, and the challenger in the Leon County Commission District 1 contest. We were talking going into the break about access to more affordable health care for the folks in District 1. And again, heading all the way down to Woodville, down to the county line, many people think that District 1 just encompasses Frenchtown and Tallahassee's South Side, but you have a big swath of rural constituents too, Ms. Ali, if you get this job. So what kind of programs are you looking for them? I know sanitary sewer has been a bugaboo bear for that area heading down there towards especially the Wakulla Basin.
Right. I have both Woodville and Walton. A lot of people don't know about Walton, but Walton is down Tram Road, and they aren't touched often, you know? Their doors aren't being knocked on often. People aren't talking to them enough. And we often disregard the people who aren't living in the central area of Tallahassee. But at the end of the day, they are still Leon County residents, and their needs and wants should still be listened to. We have, you know, the sewer system in Woodville, of course, that needs to be developed more, and we also have a large area as you go down Tram Road that is untouched. So just getting our people out of the Tallahassee city limits and allowing them to see what else Leon County has to offer should definitely be a priority, and showing them that this isn't just a small bubble. We have parks, we have, you know, St. Mark's, and there are so many places that should be visited that our students, that our residents, that our families could take advantage of. So pay attention to those communities.
One of the other things that has been a perennial problem or challenge, I hate to say problem, it sounds so negative, but a challenge, is the connection, the relationship between the city of Tallahassee and Leon County when it comes to the makeup on the commission. Things have been fairly amicable here for the past several years, but I can recall a time when both governments were suing each other to beat the band. How do you look at the future, the relationship here between the city commission and the county commission when you have a push in some quarters to consolidate those governments?
Right. I'm currently not pro-consolidation. However, I do believe that certain departments could certainly benefit and become more efficient from being consolidated. For example, when we look at our law enforcement, you know, criminal investigation, that's something that could become more efficient with the consolidation between Tallahassee Police Department and Leon County Sheriff's. Of course, consolidation is an issue that is going to be brought to the table again in the future, and we have to consider it. At the end of the day, the decision falls in the hands of the people. And they should be the ones who ultimately decide. It's not up to me. So just if we ever wonder, put it on the ballot and the people will choose.
There's been an effort to try to consolidate, if you will, or combine or something when it comes to permitting. And on one hand, you have folks who say, oh, it is all these out-of-town developers come in, they can pull permits, they can get stuff expedited in record time, whereas someone wants to put a new shed in their backyard, and they've got to go through site development plans and multiple visits to the growth management people and all that. Where do you see that falling out as far as, on one hand, making it convenient for people to go through that process, but at the same time, maybe making it a little bit more difficult for less desirable development to happen?
Well, what I would like to see is perhaps a public forum or a town hall where we can listen to the people, see what they want, you know, see how they feel about consolidating and what departments they feel need to be consolidated, what processes they think could be improved. And from there, we gather our information, do our local assessments, and see what would be best for the community. It is a headache, and our people deserve to have a easier process. I mean, come on, you want to put up the shed, you want to paint your home, you want to build something new, and you shouldn't have to jump through hoops to do it. So,
this is a good one as well, because of the recent development down around Cascades Park, and again, the county pulling out of the Community Redevelopment Agency, but this ongoing balance between preservation and development. And you know we love our trees in this community. So do you see that as fodder for more community conversation going forward to figure out what goes, what stays, how we proceed?
Of course. And I think that we need to work with what we already have. We have plenty of vacant properties, plenty of vacant buildings here, especially in my district, that are not being utilized. So just a matter of time. We let the people choose. We let the people decide what they want to do with what we have and ultimately develop from there. We shouldn't be just throwing up new buildings and new developments every 5 seconds. We need to look at what we have, the properties that we have, the spaces that we have that have previously been cherished by our people, and revitalize those places.
A lot of folks who jump into the political process right now, it is almost a fetish that I will serve one term and then I will go back to the farm or whatever. How do you see your career evolving on this, Ms. Ali?
Well, I'm taking it step by step, of course. I'm 20 years old, so I have a long future ahead of me. I'm not, and I don't want to be a career politician. You know, I'm a person of the people, and I strive every day to make myself a person of the people. So if at any point I decide that I no longer want to be commissioner, or if I feel that the people no longer want me to be commissioner, of course, I will do some succession planning. But, you know, let the people decide who they want. And I can take my, I have my own path. I have my own dreams. Of course, I'd like to get a JD and study law, study constitutional law, and, you know, branch out and see what else, you know, the world is my oyster and I have so much out there. But first and foremost, I would rather take this sacrifice and serve.
Well, there are certainly a number of pretty prominent political figures in this town who got their start as a student, whether it's a head of student government. I'm thinking of one particular mayor who with gubernatorial aspirations right now, or went on to other things. So an academic place looks like a good launching point for a career. What do you find to be the most interesting thing, though, in political science? What just trips your trigger and you go, my gosh, this fascinates me to no end?
Definitely voter behavior. I had a class with a professor. His name is Benjamin Schneer, and we studied legislative systems. And through that class, we also studied voter behavior, and we saw how easily a decision can be fluctuated, and how easy someone's vote can be influenced through things that we may deem as silly, celebrity endorsement that drives the vote a certain direction, or a scandal will totally take the vote away. It's quite interesting. You find that many people make uninformed votes or votes that they think is just a good guy or someone they'd like, and less policy research behind the votes.
Let's see. Well, I won't mention any names. There was another political scientist of my dear acquaintance who suggested it still is very much like you're in high school and voting for student council president. You vote for whom you like. Mm-hmm. And that is the essence of that decision making, regardless of the public policy considerations and all the other things that we look at right there. Right. So, which means it's really important, if not to be liked, at least to be known. And it seems as though you've been doing an awful lot of campaigning since you launched this endeavor of yours.
Right. I'm just trying to get all toes touched in the community and make sure that I know the people who I will be representing.
So what are you hearing? It's just us talking now. What have you been hearing back from the people, though, that you meet on the street that say, boy, we have really needed someone different, or no, I couldn't vote for you because I like the incumbent, or whatever? What are you hearing from the street, essentially?
They're ready for something new. They're ready for a fresh face. They're ready to be re-energized and ready for someone who really has their best interest at heart and who is really willing to listen to them. People feel like they've been, you know, left in the dark on many issues or some things they haven't had their voice heard. And I'm here to bring those voices to the table. I am a person of the people, and I will always listen to the people.
Making things a little bit more complex for the person who wins this seat, whether it's yourself or the incumbent, is the fact that there will be a different dynamic to a degree on the Leon County Commission. There is another seat that is opening up right now, which we will be talking about tomorrow, which is District 3. But then you have three new people who will be coming on board the city of Tallahassee. And again, given that critical yin and yang between the two bodies, it's going to be different than what it is right now. And I presume you think you're ready to tackle that as well.
Mm-hmm. And it is not a negative thing that those people are coming on. That gives a new opportunity to collaborate and work with them. We can establish those connections early on and make sure that those connections are built and grown, and a clear line of communication is established so that we can work together and really work for the best interests of the people of not only Leon County, but Tallahassee as well.
And on that score, I know that you've got some ideas on that, how to make that happen, how to make the two bodies, regardless of the whole consolidation issue, which we already touched on, how to make things smoother, more collaborative and all that. Well, what are some of your thoughts there?
Oh, Mr. Flanagan, we must as commissioners attend each other's meetings first off and get to know each other, and through that, you know, learn what issues are going on at the city level and what issues are going on at the county level, and also informing the people of what issues are going on at the city level and going on at the county level. A lot of people don't even know the difference between the role of the city commission or the county commission. So once we're able to tap the people in and really hear what they have to say, we're able to take their opinions and work together and ultimately build a better county, a better city.
You already talked about communication, though. Oh, we put it in the Democrat, or we got a little squib on Channel 6. Yay us. How do you connect in an era where everyone is on multiple platforms that something is coming up that we as citizens need to know about?
Right. And the same way that goes with campaigning, we need to take an effort at every avenue to make sure people are informed. We can't just be posting on the internet or going on TV. A lot of people don't watch TV. A lot of people don't have access to the internet. So mail, word of mouth, phone calls, whatever way we can, you know, tap those people in, we've got to do it, because right now a huge issue that we have, particularly in my district, is civic literacy, not only with our residents but our students. Many people do not know the difference between city, county, state, federal government, and, you know, at when that is the issue, how can we know that they're making an educated decision or that they know what is going on around them? And, you know, we have people paying their bills every month, not knowing where it's going. People depending upon resources provided by the county or the city, not knowing where it's coming from. So once people know, you know, when you know better, you can do better. So.
Well, we have heard of homework. You're talking schoolwork, maybe getting elected officials out really into certainly the high schools, but also the middle schools. And why not the elementary schools?
Right.
Since the way the curriculum is right now, we still do not have a standardized civics or problems of democracy. You know, the old-fashioned kind of thing that kids used to have to study there, and maybe cluing them in on how this stuff works.
Right. And truly, these generations that are coming into our school systems, they are bright. They are, you know, they have more access to information than any generation prior to them. And I find that when I go mentor students at even the elementary school level, they're talking about national issues. I went to go speak at Rickards High School. They were repeating Andrew Gillum's chants that he says at rallies. So these kids are really paying attention to what's going on around them. So as elected officials and as people who have a stake in the community, we need to teach our young people that, A, what is going on right now is not normal. You know, at 14 years old, I you know, Trayvon Martin was killed. At 16 years old, I saw a dead body when I logged into social media. Michael Brown was dead in the streets. So what we have going on right now is not standard, should not be normal. We need to teach our kids how you can make change and how you can make those things known that they are not normal, not only to your generation, but the generations that will come after you.
A whole generation that went through something called the Vietnam War, came back shell-shocked, devastated in many instances, for some of these folks, unable to function in a polite society. And now we have a generation of young people, can you say Parkland,
right,
who have essentially undergone the same type of wartime scenario while
right.
attending high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a different world, and these are different young people, and they need to be connected
right.
with.
And just now, in the past, we were preparing our students in schools for the possibility of an atomic bomb, you know, showing them how to hide under the desk, what to do. And now we're training our kids, you know, what to do in the case of an active shooter being in our schools. And that goes into what I'm saying is being normalized. You know, Parkland, I think, really woke young people up if they weren't awake already. And this is the beginning of a movement. This is the beginning of a rise in leadership among young people. This new coined term, Generation Z, people born, I want to say 1995 up to now, young people, They're beginning to really pay attention to what's happening and understand that your vote has power. It's not useless. That your voice has power. It's not useless. That your rallies, that your posts, that your actions have to be intentional, have to be purposeful, efficient, and you could truly make change through your actions.
That sounds like a wonderful segue into a one-minute elevator pitch, which is about all we have left in the program. So, Ms. Jasmine Ali, the voters are yours. Make your best shot.
Well, I just want to say that I am your candidate for Leon County Commissioner in District 1, and I have the best interest of the people in mind, and I promise, and I know you're not supposed to make promises, but I promise I will never neglect the people of my district. They deserve clarity with their elected officials. They deserve safety. They deserve an increased quality of life. And right now, they are not getting what they deserve. So I will work as hard as possible to make sure that the people get just what they deserve. Not a slice of the pie, but the whole pie.
Jasmine Ali, the challenger for Leon County Commission District 1, all the best to you and your campaign, ma'am. Thanks for coming on Perspectives.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU in Tallahassee. Technical assistance by Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls today. Our online connections providing video support for 4FSU are Houston Brannon, Suzanne Smith, Paul Dam, Robbie Gaffney, Christian Summersill, Carly Soder, and Kadasha Elasian. Facebook Live and WFSU.org. Tricia Monahan is handling that, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Tomorrow, we continue our political perspectives with the race for Leon County Commission District 3. We'll reconnect then right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.